And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 on Thursday, the 18th of March. It's been a huge day in the world yesterday. Well, what I mean is it's been a huge day if you were Irish or if you were a Kiwi, because if you're Irish, of course, it was St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it, Cora? And if you were a Kiwi, well, you are celebrating the winning of the biggest sailing event in the world, which is the America's Cup. And New Zealand won it last night, and I think the celebrations between that and St. Patrick's Day are still going on in Auckland, New Zealand. So well done, Kiwis, and that is just an amazing, well, challenge, an amazing achievement. And we're going to be talking, actually, about challenges in a little bit. But before we go there, if you've missed the last 4 weeks in February, March, we had a series here on all things financial. And Ash and Amber and Ingrid and Vicky, if you're listening this morning, good on you, because it was a fantastic series. We talked about financial hardship, financial bullying, financial literacy, and learned all about financial scams and so on. And if you missed that series, it has been podcast. Thanks very much, Greg, and here on our website now. So go on there and have a look all about it. So today I thought, on the back of the challenge of the America's Cup, no, not really, I thought about it before that, I thought we should talk a little more about life's challenge, challenges, actually, because the last 12 months, it's been almost exactly 12 months since many of us were directed to work from home, it's been a challenging year, hasn't it? And we do use that phrase quite a bit. We've all been Zooming and working in different ways, and it's been a challenge. And I was thinking, there's no better person to get on air this morning than someone who has had all sorts of life's challenges over the, well, we have to say, over her lifetime. And welcome, Anne-Marie Manders. Wonderful to have you on air this morning.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm glad you didn't mention the year.
There you go. And Anne-Marie, I know a little bit about some of the challenges that you've taken up and succeeded in over the years, all around the globe, as a matter of fact, with things like getting your own pilot's license and working in hospitals in Europe. And, well, we're not going to be able to talk about all of those things, Anne-Marie, but we're going to give it a go this morning.
Thank you. So where do I start?
Well, let's start right back at the beginning. The biggest challenge for you, Anne-Marie, that's a bit of an open question, but what would you say, going back, let's go back a little bit, what is the earliest biggest challenge that you can remember taking on? There you go.
Well, I can remember as a child at primary school, the only thing I ever wanted to do was to be a nurse. And as much as my mother tried to dissuade me, because I was just so one-eyed nursing and she wanted me to sort of think about other things.
Like being a teacher or something.
or something that was just not just one-eyed nursing. And however, she lost that battle and I went on to nursing. And that was a challenge for me to succeed. And succeed I did. And which, having done my full training, the thing I loved most about it, as much as I loved caring for people, was the operating theatre. And what appealed to me about the operating theatre was its precision, methodology, I should say, and organisation and cleanliness. And people think of the operating theatre as being bloody and messy, but it isn't. It is sometimes towards the end of an operation, but when you clean it up,
we won't go there. We won't go there today.
We won't go there, no. And I absolutely loved it. And so that has led me on to doing other things which have, in a funny sort of way, relate back to the operating theatre, not because I'm running it like an operating theatre, but because it's very organised, neat, tidy and precise. And that's the kind of person I am. So that was my very first challenge.
Wow, there you go. You're listening to Anne-Marie Manders, and I only gave half an introduction because Anne-Marie is the principal of the Waratina Lavender Farm just up the road here. She is a Toastmaster extraordinaire, a person who is really committed to community and fundraising and supporting community groups, and we're going to talk about an Easter egg hunt and a couple of other things that she's going to be hosting after a little bit. But for today, for today's program, we're talking about life's challenges, and Anne-Marie has seen off many of those. But for those of you who have got that Irish in you, and perhaps you didn't get to celebrate as much as you would have liked yesterday, here's a couple of thoughts for you. I reckon we'll go right back and say it's a great day for the Irish. And, of course, who's more Irish than Spike Milligan?
Oh, I woke me up this morning and I heard a joyful song from the throats of happy Irishmen, 100,000 strong. Sure, it was the Hibernian Brigade lining up for to start the big parade. So I fetched me Sunday bonnet and the flag I love so well, and I bought myself a shamrock just to wear in me lapel. Don't you know that today's March 17? It's the day for the wearing of the green. It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fair. The sidewalks of New York are thick with blarney. For sure you'd think New York was old Killarney. It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. We're feeling so inspired, sure, because for all the Irish it's a great, great day. Begosh and begorra, every Irish son and daughter, every good old Irish name and his relation. They come from Tipperary, Donegal and County Kerry, but they all are here to join the celebration. Now there's Terence O'Toole and his cousin Phil Doherty, Patrick O'Bogle and Mullen McGrew, Mike Maley, Tim Daly and Barney O'Flaherty, Danny O'Doolan and Seamus Carew. Collies and Donnies and Patrick O'Bannigan, Ryans, O'Briens, McLaughlins and Lynch, McGlones and McFaddens and Mr. Pat Flanagan, Hogans and Glogans, McPhersons and Finch. It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fair. Because there's not a cop to stop parading. Begorra, all the cops are out parading. It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. And as we go a-swinging, every Irish heart is singing. It's a great, great.
All right. Thank you, lads. Thank you. All, hold it, lads. All, stand by your beds. And now then, folks, here's a lovely melody found inside the socks of Pope Pius X and translated from the original Coptic. So cop this. Off you go then, lads. You must never bother an Irish Jew. It's the most illogical thing to do. Should you persist against my reasoning, then you must add the appropriate seasoning. What's that, lads? I took you unawares, did I? Don't worry. Don't worry, it's not bad for amateurs. Next week, the Irish Guard. The Irish Guards meet the Pope. Suddenly, it's the Irish Guards. The Irish Guards sing George Gershwin. Never mind, it's always another day. Where's that block of concrete now?
And, of course, that was the great Spike Milligan. In honour of the Irish and all of you who got to celebrate St. Patrick's Day yesterday, what a great day on the annual calendar. But this morning we're talking life's challenges. And right here in the studio, nice to have you in person, Anne-Marie, post-COVID and all that, is Anne-Marie Manders. And Anne-Marie, we've heard one of your early challenges, which was taking on the operating theatre. But another one was you took to the air. You went out there. I'm not sure what the motivation was, but you went and got your pilot's licence. That's a pretty amazing challenge. Tell us about that.
Well, that was a real challenge, given that I'm not terribly mechanical. But I'd met this man who flew an aeroplane and invited me to go down to Flinders Island for a picnic. When I told my mother that I was going to Flinders Island, she said, "How in heaven's name do you think you're getting to Flinders Island?" I said, "In an aeroplane." So her blood pressure went up and that's where it was. But I absolutely was infatuated with the fact this man's sitting up in the front of a big aeroplane, which was an 11-seater.
Yes.
And with all these knobs and dials everywhere, it didn't mean anything to me. And I thought, oh, gosh, how fantastic. And then when we got back to the Aero Club, I was introduced to some women who also flew. And I thought to myself, if they can do it, so can I. And that's what prompted me to learn. But it did take me quite a while before I went solo.
And I know you went on to, well, you even went in an air race. I remember you telling me about that once.
Well, yes, I did. Having got my pilot's license, it then opened up opportunity through the Aero Club to take part in air races, and they were ladies' air races. And this particular air race was just for women called tied in with the Melbourne's Cup.
Right.
Melbourne Cup. But it was a navigational race. You didn't know where you were going. You had to have an all-up weight in the plane, and nobody could have more experience than the pilot, and I only had 200 hours. So you were just about to take off and handed an envelope through the window. And it gave you a heading of where you had to go.
Sounds
and
like sort of orienteering by ear or something.
Yes,
or other.
It was. And you had to answer questions so that then they knew that you were over the spot where you were, like what was beside the railway line.
Okay.
What was written on the roof of the shed and that
like
sort
a
of thing.
Like a treasure hunt, almost.
Yes, and it was fantastic. So that was absolutely fabulous. And I did really well in that race, except that on coming in to land, the lady in the right-hand seat, left-hand seat, I should say, because the pilot sits in the right-hand seat, took hold of the controls and pulled the nose of the plane up as I was landing.
Ouch.
And caused the plane to crash. So we all there landed on the runway with our tail, our nose in the mud and our tail in the air, and the media were there to take photos, and they got this fantastic photo which appeared on the third page of The Age.
Oh, God.
And I actually got an award for my trouble because I would have won the race because I had the best time and it was my first air race. So that was quite, at the time, demoralising, but I can laugh about it now.
Wow, wow. You're hearing a couple of the great challenges that Anne-Marie Manners has taken on in her life. And I'm thinking, Anne-Marie, why don't we just quickly talk about the last 12 months? Because it's been challenging for all of us, hasn't it? And we've had to learn to do things differently again, to learn about this technology and zooming in and out and doing all those things. What has it meant for you personally, and listeners, for those of you who don't know, Anne-Marie is also a businesswoman and runs Waratina Lavender Farm. And so business has been thrown in turmoil too, Anne-Marie, in the last 12 months, hasn't it?
It definitely has, but there are pluses for everything. Even though there was a few negatives, there was definitely, from my point of view, pluses with COVID. First thing, of course, we had to close. That gave me the opportunity of concentrating more on the actual farm management.
Mm.
And I had two people that we put on JobKeeper. And I have to thank the government for their support. I think
sure.
They've been absolutely fantastic, despite the fact that in some ways some, you know, might have been done hastily. I don't think they had a choice. It had to be done. And that's been brilliant.
Mm.
But closing the tea room then made me rethink some months later about reopening it. And I just thought, no, at my age, it's getting too hard to run the farm, run the tea room, run the products and the shop and go to shows, all of which I still do. So I decided we would move the shop out of the existing tea room building and put it into another facility, which we already had. It just needed some renovation. And I have now got a separate shop. and I have leased the tea room. And so I've actually grown 2 inches because I've had a weight taken off my shoulders, and it's fantastic. So that was an absolute plus. The other plus was learning about Zoom, as you've already alluded to, and that technology. Another thing which was really fantastic that came out of COVID, I was invited to take part in doing PowerPoint presentations to primary schools, and that was through a government initiative.
I'm assuming it was about lavender or something, Anne-Marie.
It was about farming.
Oh, okay.
It was about farming, and it wasn't only just me. There were other farmers that were invited to take part, so that primary school children could learn that milk didn't come from the supermarket, that where did we get the materials to make our clothing, like cotton and wool and beef, about cattle farming and about bees. So all these different aspects of farming, and so these farmers were introduced. Some declined and others took on the challenge.
Yes, yes.
And it was a challenge initially, and the PowerPoint was put up there. I had to present the photos, and they put it together as a PowerPoint presentation and with questions, and the children. And for the children it was challenging too, because they were working from home.
Yes,
and
yes.
Having to learn how to hone in on the computer. But it was absolutely brilliant. And so from there, that was a government-funded initiative, having been thought up by the group of schools that thought up the idea. And then this year, it's following on in a different way, and there are grants there available to schools if they want to take it on. So I've already got one that's Lilydale Primary School.
Fantastic.
One of the schools in Lilydale are doing coming to our farm, and I give them an excursion, I suppose, and it's not an online excursion in this case, it's a real excursion about farm practices. And in our case, I'm a flower grower.
Yes.
But the children had the opportunity of learning about, you know, insects and what do you do in the winter when there's no flowers growing and all this sort of thing.
That is fantastic. And you're listening to Anne-Marie Manders, and we're talking about life's challenges. And I've just got to throw something in there. Have you heard the definition of a farmer, actually? I'm wondering whether you have, because, well, a definition of a farmer is, of course, a man outstanding in his field. And on that note, we're going to go to Christine McVie and Eric Clapton. We're going to talk, we're going to listen to Challenge.
Does your heart feel content?
And after the 11 o'clock news this morning on Art Journal, we have the amazing Cora's on, interviewing Nina Mile, who is the curator of the Slow Moving Waters exhibition, kicking off at Tarawarra Museum next week. That's going to be a great interview, so make sure you are there. And of course, a big shout out to all of our regular listeners, to Kath and Bob and all of you out there who we know listen every week. And for all the people who might be out in the vineyards at the moment, picking those grapes. I know we're on the tail end of the 2021 vintage, but there's lots happening out there, lots of machinery, lots of activity, lots of things going on. Actually, it reminds me, I'm just wondering whether you've heard what noise the grape actually makes when it's crushed. I mean, does it say anything? I guess this is kind of an Irish joke carryover from yesterday. But of course, what did the grape say when it got trodden on? Well, it didn't actually say anything. It just gave out a little whine. There you go. We're going to race on. This morning, we're talking about life's challenges. And here in the studio, I have Anne-Marie. We've talked about how she took on the medical profession and the operating theatre, how she took to the air and got her pilot's license, how she started a business from scratch and grew it and adapted to the challenges of COVID-19 over the last 12 months. And Anne-Marie, I'm just wondering, as I listen to all of those challenges, I'm wondering what it is in a particular person that means that they rise to the challenge and, well, in most cases succeed or conversely fail. What is the, you know, what's the determining quality that makes for success or failure when it comes to a challenge in front of you?
Thanks for the question. That's a huge question, but I think for the most important thing, you've got to have a personal drive and a desire to learn and succeed. And one of my challenges was to learn to speak German. Now, I didn't think I'd ever learn to speak German, but I really wanted to learn to speak the language. And having travelled through Germany and had the opportunity of being introduced to a matron in a hospital,
Guten Morgen.
I was offered the job, and this was before I could even speak the language. And being in the operating theatre, I didn't have to speak very much, but I was absolutely determined to learn the language. I was young, my brain was more able to remember everything that I was learning, although it still took a lot of effort. And you do retain things better when you're younger, but when you get older, you just have to work a bit harder at it. Yes. And I learned to speak German in 4 months, and I still speak German 50 years later and can think in it. I don't have to translate in my head.
I reckon you've got one advantage, Anne-Marie, because of your farming background. You know a little bit about German nation.
Oh, how can we get better than that? Thank you, Bruce. You hit the nail on the head every time. And so that was a major challenge, and I succeeded in that because I had personal drive and I wanted to learn, and I did. Mm. Now, getting back to running a business, for example, and it depends on the type of business, but if it is your own business, number one, you've got to have a passion.
Yes.
You've got to have an enormous amount of energy. You've got to have that drive I've already spoken about, and a realisation initially that you won't make much money. And there are always challenges, in my case, farming, where you are dependent on the weather, depending on whatever the crop is. Not so bad with growing flowers, but if you're growing tomatoes or fruit, the elements change every year.
Can be very cruel, can't it, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, insects, too much rain, not enough rain, weeds go rampant, etc., etc. The sun, not enough sun for tomatoes to ripen, and so it goes on and on. But you've got to have resilience and determination to succeed. And how long can you do that if you have year after year of failure?
Yes.
Again, it comes back to how much do you want to succeed? And eventually you will if you keep pushing forward at it, but having to accept that there are losses in financial losses, et cetera, that you just have to somehow or other contend with. But it is definitely ambition.
Mm-hmm.
Personal drive, having resilience, being resourceful is important.
Mm-hmm.
And innovative, so you need to do that, though, in life in general.
Yes,
I think that applies to. And I apply those qualities to what our pioneers had. They were successful. They had an enormous challenge. Think back on when they came out into the Yarra Valley and there was nothing here. There might have been a dirt track and a horse and buggy. And, you know, chopped down their trees, made their houses. If they didn't chop the wood, they didn't have any heating.
Yes.
And they had resilience. They were courageous, enormously courageous and brave in what they were doing, and resourceful and innovative. So all of those things come into applying those to a challenge.
And you were telling me off air as well that it's also about the people that you surround, the people that you bring on board, whether they are, you know, colleagues or co-business owners or staff that you employ or whatever, that it's also a team effort, Anne-Marie.
Oh, it is definitely a team effort, and particularly in the kind of business that I'm in, where you are getting the public coming on to the farm and get you. In my case, I love that people contact, and that's a throwback, I suppose, to being a nurse. But giving people an experience and being able to see a smile on their face when they walk away, and you can see that they've enjoyed their visit. And yesterday we had sometimes I actually think, without being denigrating in any way whatsoever, because I absolutely love to help people who are less fortunate and disabled or whatever. And yesterday we had only disabled people came to the farm, and they had a wonderful time. We've got disabled facilities, and you know that one lady came in an electric wheelchair, another one was able to move her own wheelchair, and also we have a group of people who are able to work in horticulture with supervision. So all of that gives me pleasure in giving them pleasure and an experience.
That is absolutely fantastic, Anne-Marie, and well aware of some of the amazing fundraising and community support events. And we're going to talk about one of those coming up in a little while. But clearly from what you're saying, and having been in business myself, I know it's not always plain sailing. And well, hats off, though, to the Kiwis yesterday who took home the America's Cup on St. Patrick's Day 2021. An amazing achievement. The old mug, the highest, the greatest competition in sailing in the world. So well done, you Kiwis. Hats off to you. It wasn't always plain sailing, but yesterday Kiwis learned to fly. And so here we go. In honour of you, Kate Brady, sailing.
This world we wrap ourselves up in is moving far too fast, like the heartbeat of a hummingbird. It's gone before it lasts, before it lasts. So take the chance, it'll be alright. Some will die young, but not tonight. All we've got to live for, all the lives we're living here. Is it fair to ask for something more? Is it right that we should fear? So come, let's climb on mountains where we can't hear anyone. We will climb so high, we'll leave the land. Come join me on the sun. sailing ships away, they drift apart like you and I. Please don't ask me where I'm going, I couldn't tell you if I tried. But there's only so much ocean where those eager boats can go. There is only so much ocean, they will meet again, I know. And sailing ships away, they drift apart like you and I. Please don't ask me where I'm going, I couldn't tell you if I tried. But there's only so much ocean where those eager boats can go. There is only so much ocean, they will meet again, I know. They will meet again, I know. They will meet again, I know.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
My very special guest here in the studio this morning is Anne-Marie Manders, the principal of Waratina Lavender Farm, just up the road here. Anne-Marie, how long have you actually been operating there now?
29 years.
29, so next year's the big 3-0 then, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I can't believe it. I was never going to have a business. I never had a business plan. I didn't need to because I wasn't going to have a business.
For those of you who can't see Anne-Marie, she's wearing purple, of course, as she often is wanting to do, bearing in mind the lavender connection. But talking about the lavender connection, of course, it's not always purple because you've also been supporting the Pink Bus, which is about supporting homeless women. And I know you've got, and perhaps we might have you back on air again, you've got the patchwork quilt exhibition and so on that you're doing with the CWA in a couple of months' time. But closer to home, and after the Wandon North Harvest Market event this coming Sunday, and if you want to know more about that, have a look at the Wandon North Primary School. But in 2 weeks' time, Anne-Marie, you have an Easter egg hunt, a good old-fashioned Easter egg hunt. Tell us about that. Is it for kids of all ages or just kids?
Well, unfortunately, Bruce, you're not going to be eligible because
oh, no.
you have to be under 12.
Oh, gosh.
And the children, the parents would on their behalf, would it's ticketed online.
Sure.
But people can come and buy their ticket at the door. But it gives me a better idea of how many have registered. They will go. They come to present their registration ticket. Get a little bunny stamp on their hand. They'll get a mud map, and then they go out and they look for 4 egg tokens. That's like a little plastic egg picture, which we hide in through the gardens. And then they come back with their tokens and they get a little bundle of eggs with a little chicken in with the eggs.
Fan.
And it's a good deal, actually.
Fantastic. And if you want to know the details, go on to Anne-Marie's website, which is Waratina, that's with all the A's and double R, waratinalavender.com.au, waratinalavender.com.au, and you can book your child or children or friends' children or... Well, some children you want to get out of the street for a day to go on the Easter egg hunt, which is on Saturday the 3rd of April, Sunday the 4th of April, and there's a couple of sessions to choose from each day. So go onto the website and sign up. And Anne-Marie, I'm also aware that you've been supporting food distribution through Rotary as well. I mean, you've been supporting, donating funds to enable that as well this year, haven't you?
Yes, that was as a result of a really successful market that we had earlier in the year, and that again was ticketed, and every ticket, there were $2 of every ticket sold was given to a local charity. Well, we decided we would give it to Rotary, and they used that money to buy food, which was subsequently given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church on a Friday, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church then distributed that food to needy families in the valley. And Rotary were really pleased with that donation. Because of COVID, they hadn't been able to do fundraising during the year, so it was fabulous for them, but it was really nice for us too because it was... it's a two-way street wherever you go. It's a bonus to us to have people coming onto the farm, and it's a bonus for people who are in need. And
Fantastic.
That's what I love to do.
And if you go to Warratton 11 to farm, it won't actually be a two-way street, because they've got a loop driveway where you go around there in and out. Sorry, I'm being very cheeky this morning, aren't I, Anne-Marie? But let's go back to life's challenges again, because I reckon there's a couple of things I want to ask you still. I mean, in terms of approaching the challenge, you've given us some of the characteristics of individuals being driven and resilient and so on, but how important do you think it is in terms of getting the right people around you? Kim Harris, known to many of you on this, talks about the fact that If you want to look at how effective you are as a team, you look at the five people you spend the most time with in your life, and to see whether they are positive people, a positive influence on you, or perhaps not so positive, and perhaps you might need to think again about the five people you spend the most time with or something. But Anne-Marie, is it important to gather the same sort of people around you, or different people, a bit of diversity, you know, in terms of taking on the challenge, whether that's business or whatever it is in life?
Well, I suppose it's important from a business point of view to find the right person for the job. And that is an enormous challenge, because you're not always successful. So I always think it's good to trial them for however long you feel is necessary for whatever the job is. In my case, before I leased out the tea room, I had to find somebody who was a good cook. Mm. I needed to have somebody who had a nice relationship with and could speak nicely to the public, customer service, be an awareness about people and the needs of people, and be interested in our whole area, because we're a tourism place.
Sure.
So they needed to develop a knowledge of what was on around us so that they could give advice and recommendations to visitors. So that was finding the right person. Then there's the person outside, the farmer. And now I can't do all the work. I can't do all the heavy duty
manual. Why not, Anne-Marie?
I try to, but I mean, some of the heavy duty manual stuff I simply can't do. And I have just found the most amazing lady. Today is her first day, and I've left her on her own.
Oh, well, we better do a shout out. She might be listening. What's her name? Her first name.
Yeah, well, she calls herself Chez.
Oh, there, Chez. A big shout out to you if you're out there doing the real work today.
Yes. Well, she did all the mechanics on the trucks in the mines. Number one, she does fencing, chainsawing, whippersnippering, mowing, tractor work, slashing.
Stop right there, Anne-Marie. I'm gonna get a number off you after the program. No, just kidding.
So I'm giving her a day. Today's her first day, and already I'm impressed.
Fantastic.
So that's an absolute plus. You need to have somebody who's focused on what they're doing, and prepared to communicate with you. And yes, there's a whole. But also, coming back to the employer, it's the responsibility of the employer to tell the employee, well, this is what I'm expecting of you. This is how I want it to be done. Report back to me if something's not right. Record what you've done, that sort of thing.
Yeah, make sure it's safe and so on.
And communication. Mm. And communication.
Fantastic. You gave a speech the other night at Toastmasters. I haven't given you the opportunity to talk much about Toastmasters, and we probably haven't got time today, but you talked about the amazing story of Eliza Doolittle. And to listeners who are not so familiar, of course, that's a work of George Bernard Shaw, Pygmalion. And one of the things that came out of that was how Eliza Doolittle was transformed. And I'm just wondering, on the back of that, you know, we could talk about gender challenges even there, Anne-Marie, but we won't go there today either. But what about education? What about the role, the place of education in terms of being able to tackle life's challenges? Do you think education's important?
Absolutely, vitally important. And for people who are underprivileged, if they can just be aware that there's a lot of opportunity out there, and even if their parents are not in a position to point them in the right direction, if they can just pick up some vibes from what's the opportunities around them. Education is vital, even getting that little bit of ticket of I can do this, I can do that, and not just drop out from school halfway through secondary. It's absolutely of vital importance. And can I just, if I've got a quick
You've
second...
You've got about 30 seconds. There we go.
The Pygmalion was a Greek sculptor, and he sculpted the perfect woman in the form of a marble statue. But Eliza Doolittle, she was transformed from being not the perfect woman to being the perfect woman. However, she only had enough education to be what Henry Higgins in the play wanted her to be, and what she didn't have was the knowledge to run a business and be able to speak widely on more subjects than what he'd taught her. So it is important to be a little bit better focused.
Anne-Marie, it's hard to believe that we are out of time this morning. It's been a wonderful conversation. You are an inspiration to all of us in terms of taking on life's challenges, whether that is learning German, learning how to fly, taking on the operating theatre, becoming a very successful business owner, supporting community groups. Hats off to you. Irish hats off to you, Anne-Marie. It's been a wonderful conversation. If you've missed it or part of it this morning and you want to have a listen again, it'll be podcast on our website very shortly. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for sharing part of your journey and the way you tackle life's challenges.
Thank you, Bruce. Life is a challenge right through to the very end, and I'm going to wear that hat.
Fantastic. And listeners, we look forward to your company again, same time next week, 9 o'clock, for our next Community Conversations program. We'll have another interesting conversation then.